So today we're actually going to focus on Joel chapter 2, because there's a prophecy in it that is repeated in the second chapter of Acts. And so it's probably actually going to be quite familiar to a number of you. And it's actually something we still see unfolding today, which I think is so cool. And so I'm actually really excited to speak into it. It was not just for those living in the time of Joel, but for the future people. So we felt it was fitting to take a look at a generational call, since we're looking at moms and their generational impact. And so I'm sure that there are actually many moms and aunties and sisters and grandmothers that have actually prayed these prayers, or prayed these words when they've been praying for the future generations. And so we're actually going to read, it's going to be a bit extensive, a little bit long. We're going to read Joel 2. Verse 12 to 32. Okay, so 20 verses. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber, let the bride leave her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep, between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? And here is the Lord's answer. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain and new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern horde far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea, and its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea. And a stench will go up, and its smell arise. This is talking about the locusts, not people. That's who he's talking about there. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green, and the trees that bear their fruit, the fig tree and the vine, yield their riches. He's restoring the land from the locusts. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grains, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and the other locusts and the locust swarms. As you can see, it's a lot of locusts. My great army that I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And this is about the day of the Lord, and this is the part that is in Acts. And after that, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Isn't that incredible? And how many of you have heard that last part of the scripture before, repeatedly, right? It's my goodness, it's so incredible to read this. We are living in the last days. Whether Jesus is returning in 100 years or tomorrow, These are the last days that we're being talked of here. And we see also in Acts, when the ball was pushed into motion, when, if you remember the story, if you haven't heard the story, Jesus went away and he said, wait for me and I'm going to send the comforter. And then they waited in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell. And after that, Peter was preaching to tons of people and he said, he repeated this scripture, this last part of scripture, saying, in the last days, the Lord will pour out his Spirit. And this is what you're seeing. So what started in Acts, we are still experiencing today. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? I think it's so amazing. So he quoted the book of Joel by saying, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And it goes on to continue. You can see it there. We take this reality for granted, though, don't we? Sometimes, because it's our everyday reality. We get to live in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit every day. How awesome is that? What they were hungering for before, longing for, we are living in today. We are experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is something we have readily accessible to us today, every day. Do we understand the incredible gift that this is? Or do we kind of pass by the opportunity without actually seeing it a lot of times? Have you ever lived close to something beautiful? Maybe mountains or like a beautiful body of water or waterfall or even just nature all around you. Or maybe you have an incredible relationship that you've had in your life. What about a gift that you've received that you were just hopeful for a long, long time and you finally receive it, right? When we first get these things, when we first encounter these things, we're like, wow. You know, you step out your door and there's mountains right there. You're inspired. You're in awe. How often are we positioned with something incredibly beautiful or desirable in our lives? And then over time, it becomes common. It just becomes a part of our everyday life. And we miss the beauty that once enamored and thrilled us. It just becomes normal. We stopped pausing and seeing the beauty in the rush of each day. We forget what a gift the thing we once hoped for is, and we miss the incredible beauty of the relationships nearest to us. We take for granted the faithful presence of these things in our lives often. At least I know I do. Maybe some of you don't, but I know this is something I am absolutely guilty of. I know when I first moved into our house that we're in, there's nature all around. There's forest behind us. I can go for a walk and I'm just immersed in nature. And I thought when I moved in there, I'm like, I'm going to walk every day. And if I step out my front door, I can see the mountains in the distance. There's fields. I can hear the cows. Like I moved from the city. So this was all like, wow, this is amazing. I can hear the cows in the distance, a perfect little farm, you know, all these things. And I just thought, I'll never get sick of this. I'm going to drink this in every day. I'm going to sit and have my coffee on the front porch, winter, summer, doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to go for walks every day, but slowly I don't go for walks. And when I do, I'm like, why don't I do this? It's amazing. And then months go by and I don't go for walks. I thought, I'll be in the forest every day. No, I never go in the forest, you know? And then I thought, I'm going to drink in this view all the time. I barely notice it half the time. Half the time I'm walking out the door, hopping in the car and leaving and haven't even taken in what's around me. And yet I thought I'd never get sick of it. We have all done this, haven't we? Allowing something special to become common. And we do the same thing with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want you to pause for a minute and think about how you have Holy Spirit in your life. Just close your eyes for a second and remember a time, whether it was this morning in worship, where Holy Spirit met you, where he's provided for you, where you felt him lift something off you, renewing your strength, giving you things that you needed, reminding you of something God has taught you, comforting you when you've had sorrow, giving you peace when you're anxious. And now I want you to imagine that the access to God was actually only through a human, through ritual, through sacrifice. That it wasn't something inside of you, something personal. It was something you had to do through somebody else. This was Joel's time. That's how he experienced God. That's how everybody experienced God. It was through the only people who had that kind of closeness with Holy Spirit was a king, priest, prophet. The rest of the people, it was through ritual. They would come together at the temple. They would see God move. But it wasn't like how we experience it. We have a profound gift that I know I have often become so used to that I've been guilty of allowing it to become common. We have Holy Spirit poured out. What was the longing and prayer and prophetic promise that people struggled for, that people called out for, that people ached for, is something we have. You guys can open your eyes if you want, sorry. You don't have to leave them closed. You might fall asleep. But in the Old Testament, they didn't have this. And we have this. The whole Old Testament, all that history and promise and prophecy is pointing to the time we're in now. How wonderful and amazing is it? Who are we that we get this blessing? Why should we have the benefit of something others poured out blood and tears and faithful sacrifice and petition for? I'm not even an Israelite, are you? Maybe a few of you are Jewish in here, but most of us actually are not. And they poured out, they ached for, they longed for, they sacrificed for this. And yet we get to be beneficiaries. I'm a beneficiary of this. I'm a daughter of the King because all of this was poured out generations before. Generations before. We've read through and studied the Old Testament. All the retellings of prophecies and battles and sacrifice and struggle, rebellion and grace, the few that stood. We just read Daniel, right? The few that stood and God's unending grace and mercy to see the completion of the promise of a Savior through the Israelite people. And here we stand today, beneficiaries of the promise. Salvation is in our grasp. And Holy Spirit is in our lives if we accepted that salvation. Each one of us, not just the prophet or priest or king. Us. Each of us filled to overflowing with this incredible gift given to empower us to live lives as God calls us to be witnesses, light, salt, pouring from the overflow of the message of love and hope to a broken and dying world. So my question to all of us is this: what are we doing with this gift? When it says poured out, it's not meant like a little tiny bit. You know, it's not like a little dab of salt here, a little dab of salt here. It's an abundance. It's an overflow. The Hebrew word used in Joel 2 for "I will pour out" is, and I'm going to botch this word, I'm sure of it, but Shapach, which denotes a lavish, unstoppable, or overflowing deluge. It's like a flood. It's like you know, if a fire hose was pointed at you. This signifies an abundant outpouring rather than a trickle. It represents a dramatic and widespread impartation of God's Spirit. That's us, guys. We get this. In Joel chapter 1, we see Joel call the Israelites to pass to the generations all that they have seen God do. How many here have seen God do something in their life? Right? We are to pass this on. We're not to hoard this to ourselves as a nice little story. We're to pass it on. As parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, teachers, leaders, influencers, as person who has breath and knows Jesus in the world, it is our job to let the overflowing Holy Spirit flow. Flow to the ones God has put in our paths, to our kids and grandkids, for any of the kids or youth or younger ones coming up behind us. And you may say, well, I don't have grandkids, or I don't have kids, or they're not near me, or they don't want to hear it. Well, then there's somebody who does. Maybe it's not the ones you thought it would be to. Maybe it's not the ones you hoped it would be to. But there are people coming up behind you that need this, that want it, that can be beneficiaries of what God has done in our lives. Just like someone poured out for us, ahead of us in prayer, in deed and in word, will you pour out? Will you let Holy Spirit overflow out of your life to bless someone around you? To call that youth into deeper relationship with God? To let that child know they're seen and heard and important and have purpose? To let that new mom know that she's going to make it through and that there's a strength outside of her that she can have? There is somebody around you that needs the message you have inside of you, that needs the love you have inside of you, even if it's not the ones you thought it would be. We have a gift that was never meant to stop with us. It was meant to be spilled out. Don't worry, you're not going to run out. You're not going to run out. The more you share, the more you let it pour out, the more it comes in. If you're full, there's nowhere for it to go. Just keep pouring out. He'll keep pouring in. The more you pause and see the beauty each day, the more it keeps overflowing. Let's read Acts 2, 17 to 21 again. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your younger men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We are these people. And sometimes we read these scriptures and think it's going to happen. We wait for some big outpouring. We wait for that moment, that breakthrough. But I actually believe we have to see this scripture for what it is. We're in it. Don't wait for it. You're in it now. Don't wait for something big to happen. Something big happened when Jesus died, rose again, and sent his Holy Spirit. We're in it. So let it flow out of you. Let it pour out of you. Know that you have it. You are filled to overflowing. He promised. It's done. Amen. So let it flow out. Don't miss it because the view has become common to you. Because you've stopped noticing how profoundly amazing God's constant presence is in your life. A lot of people, when they first discover Jesus, can't stop telling people. They're like, wow, I was in darkness, now I'm in light. I was over here, now I'm over here. I was consumed by horrible things, and now I'm free. And yet, as we get used to this freedom, we just get used to it. We get comfy and we forget to say, I'm free. We forget to celebrate every day the freedom that we have. The mountains that become common just outside your door, they never moved. They never changed. They never got less magnificent. It's just us that stops taking note of how incredible it is. And this is the awe of God. If we don't pause and allow Holy Spirit to inspire us to have that awe, if we don't take time and be in God's presence, if we don't stop and acknowledge who God is in our lives, we start to lose that awe, that wonder. We're never to lose that. So I want to take a moment and I want to ask you two questions. And I want you to kind of reflect and ask them of yourself. Have you allowed the presence of God in your life to become common? And who is in your path? Is there someone, a generation, a family that God has put in your path that is asking you to allow your life to overflow into. That maybe in the busyness of life, you haven't noticed, or you've been like, I should reach out to, I should connect with, I should take that little gift to, I should share this story with, but life carries you on. And so I encourage you, take a moment right now and let's just pause. If you've allowed God's presence, his outpouring in your life to become common, let's just take a minute and realign ourselves with God and repent of that. So let's close our eyes and just take a moment. God, we recognize there's nothing common about your Holy Spirit, about your presence. And that the awe and wonder of it isn't a feeling. It's actually a heart posture. It's us choosing to live from the understanding of how awesome this is. That we are fully empowered to do whatever you ask, and that we are living, walking hand in hand with the very God who created the earth. That we lack nothing. God, may you fill us with the awe of God again. And may we be willing to share this with others, not from a place of forcing, but from the overflow of what you're doing. From the overflow of a poured out Holy Spirit that we are the beneficiaries of. Forgive us for where we have made this common in our lives. Thank you, Lord. So as we saw in Joel, the people's hearts had grown cold toward God, and they were chasing other things. And this is what God was telling them to repent from. This is what happens to our hearts when we allow the presence of God to become common, when we lose the awe and wonder of this profound gift. The beauty is that we see that God is gracious. Right there in Joel, we see as soon as the people turned back to him, he was ready with blessing and met them. He got rid of the locusts and he was like, I will pour out. He gave them this promise. And he is the same for us. So now that we've taken a moment and recognized where we've made God common, we can now daily choose to pause and take in that reality. Because if we don't pause, we stop noticing. We have to pause. And so here are four steps we can take to keep our hearts from becoming numb to this gift. First, start with pausing. Take time in the morning to stop and be in awe of God, inviting Holy Spirit to pour into you and overflow from you today. Secondly, stay aware. Holy Spirit is in you. That does not change. Let him guide you. Let him highlight people he's putting in your path. Let him show you how to let him overflow. Three, submit to Holy Spirit. When he shows you something to do, do it. He's going to give you what you need. You don't have to worry about it. And fourth, show others the view. Give glory to God, because that's where it's due. As you let Holy Spirit overflow out of your life, make sure you do not take credit for what is God's. Whatever he's doing in and through your lives, glory belongs to him. So let's live in awe of the one who so faithfully has fulfilled his promises to us. Promises from hundreds of years ago, we are now experiencing. Let's let the Holy Spirit overflow from our lives and tell our children and grandchildren, the people around us, what God has done. It is because others chose to tell us that we get to be here today. So let's posture our hearts in this place as we go through our days. At this time, I want to invite Tanya and Carol and Gabby. What a beautiful example of generations sharing with one another what God has done. Because I know each one of them is a benefit of others pouring into them.